This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
And now we have our next, guest in the studio, our first guest for today.
You never know whether to include Steve.
I know. Every time I try to, then David has a bit of a word, then Steve gets offended. So, yes, I don't even go there anymore.
We have a guest in the studio.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, we have Fred Giescher, who is here. And Fred is the St Kilda Festival's first people's officer, because the St Kilda Festival is just around the corner. And they have some really cool new showcases happening. But, Fred, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. Great to be here.
So, Fred, before we get cracking on the St Kilda Festival, which is a huge part of our culture here for many, many years, can you tell us a little bit about your backstory? So, to be in this role in the first place and what your pathway has been? Because I know that you've done a little bit of radio as well.
Yeah, it's been a long journey, my journey in the arts. So, this is my 30th year working in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander arts. I'm a singer-songwriter, musician myself. That's how I started out.
Do you still record?
No. I do a lot of. I mainly work with the festival these days. I still play.
Perform live
occasionally.
Yeah. Why don't you record anymore? Have you moved on?
No. I'm still open. I'm getting on a bit in years. I suppose I should record the songs that I've written.
So. Come on, do it.
Yeah, so my background is mainly in education and the arts. I started off as a school teacher back in the 80s and sort of moved from there because I really didn't like teaching. Who liked school? I didn't. felt like I went to high school. And I was still in school. When I left high school, I went to teachers' college.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was
still in school. But that's the thing with teachers, isn't it? They never leave school. Teacher never leaves school.
I wanted something different. So, I'd always dreamed about touring around the Kimberleys and Western Australia, and that sort of happened.
Where are you from originally?
Well, my heritage is Murray Island, the Torres Straits.
Right.
The Miriam people. That's on my father's side. And my mum is from Vanuatu, the island of Umbe. And how they got here, it's a really long, complicated story.
But it's so interesting, isn't it? That some of those stories, and it's usually up north as well, that, the inter-race, I just find it fascinating.
Well, yeah, I mean, both sides of my family are very interesting, long stories, and complicated sort of stories to tell within the context of it. Australia and its settlement. So I've just written my master's at Melbourne University at the VCA.
Yeah.
Mainly based on my father's side of the family.
Is he still alive?
No, he died in 1971.
Oh, okay. A long time ago.
Long time ago. But he was from Murray Island. He was a pearl diver.
That was the big thing, wasn't it?
Sailing ships, and they put him in the big iron suit and lead weights on his feet and dropped him to the bottom. I don't know how he did it. I tried that once and I just put the helmet on and I got claustrophobic. So I don't know how he did it. Yeah.
What stories he must have? Did he tell them to you, or have you discovered them more since he's passed?
Well, I've had to sort of rediscover that since my father died, and happened through my master's research.
Was there much around? Could you find all the information?
Yeah, well, we were vigorously studied by anthropologists. our stuff was put into museums and archives in Brisbane, and I think there's University of South Australia as well. There's a lot of stuff that I don't know if you've heard of Norman Tyndale. He was an anthropologist who studied a lot of First Nations groups around Australia, and my family was one of them.
Right, okay.
So a lot of that ended up in the state records in Brisbane, recorded out my family tree, our songs, our culture and languages and stuff like that.
How lucky, hey?
So it was lucky that was preserved, because I grew up in Brisbane. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was born in Brisbane, but I grew up between there and the Gold Coast, Gold Coast and Tweed Heads.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. From there, I was teaching. I ended up as a Centrelink officer at one time. I
didn't like that everyone's job at favorite all. People.
I know that feeling.
Just totally wasn't me.
But you ended up in Western Australia, though, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, well, I quit my job at Centrelink and hopped on a plane and took my guitar and bag and hit the streets of Perth and Fremantle. Right.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's where you did a bit of radio.
Well, yeah. I ended up studying music there. I did a lot of busking at Fremantle and. As you do when you
did you make a buck out of it in the back
yeah,
of the day?
Yeah, it was yeah. great. Yeah, it's where you sort of practice your art too.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
projecting your voice and yeah. everything like that.
Yeah.
So from there, I did a diploma of music and I ended up working as a project officer at this Aboriginal Music College. And from there, I went on to work for the West Australian Music Industry Association, or WAM, it's called.
Uh-huh.
And it was when I was working there that we had a partnership with RTR, which is like Triple
yes,
R here in
yes,
Melbourne.
Yeah, I know it.
So yep. I ran a show called Bordak Nala, which is the local Noongar language, meaning listen good music, roughly translated. So I did that for a few years while I was there. And
did you learn, was the languages very different, you know, like over there to what you
yeah,
knew?
I found it was... not many people were speaking it when I first went there in the early 90s. I went there in 92, at the end of 92. And, I found that not many people were speaking it at the time. But towards the end of the decade, 2000, people were really – the language had started to come back.
Yeah.
And people were really starting to learn their culture and the history and everything like that. Because,
yeah.
Western Australia was sort of one of the very last places to be colonised. And so they were – just sort of the last missions and Catholic schools for Aboriginal people who were removed, stolen generations, they call them,
yeah.
had started to close. So I was there in that sort of era up into the about 2007
right.
when I left.
And did you then come here?
No, I got a job with the Australia Council in Sydney
uh-huh.
As a project coordinator, and I was the National Indigenous Music Coordinator.
Wow, well, that's
so
a good role.
The National Music Strategies.
Which yeah, wow.
Yeah, presented when Peter Garrett was the Minister for the Arts at the time.
Yep.
Well, so,
how'd
yeah.
you end up here?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, I never ever thought I'd be living in Melbourne because I'm a Queenslander and I like the heat.
But it's Melbourne summer right now.
Especially this week. This week's been such great weather.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd left Sydney. I finished writing that strategy and I went back home and I was sort of playing with my band again. And I was actually stacking the fruit at Woolies when this job came up. Here I was sort of scrolling through, went down to the local job centre and I was scrolling through and I thought, oh, Port Phillip. I don't know where that is. Looks like a good job, so I applied for it, yeah.
And what is the role?
Well, my role was Indigenous Arts Officer, but that name has changed now to First Peoples. It's now Arts, Festivals and Events. So I've just taken on the arts portfolio as well,
uh-huh.
Where I was just dealing with the festival.
Right.
I also program films, the First Nations programs for the Film Festival, St Kilda Film Festival as
right.
well.
Right, okay.
As well as take care of all the other, like NAIDOC and other events, Mabo Day, Rec Week and events like that.
Yeah. All right. So St Kilda Festival, yeah, what's your involvement with the St Kilda Festival?
My role was specifically to program, produce the First Peoples Festival.
Which was beforehand, wasn't it?
Which was happened a week beforehand, like we were saying before, and then there was like a week of gigs called Live and Local with the big Festival Sunday celebration at the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's that festival has sort of grown from little events in parks to a stage in O'Donnell Gardens and to now where it is. We're on this massive, huge stage down on the St Kilda foreshore.
Yeah, so
it's sort of stepped up levels and taken us to new heights.
Yeah, and of course we didn't have it for those few years through COVID, and it's back bigger and better by the looks of it.
Yeah, well, we went through a couple of different sort of versions of the festival, mainly because of COVID. So we couldn't have huge crowds coming down. So smaller venues, stuff online. But I think after 2 years in lockdown, I think people just got tired of looking at computer screens.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, we're really dying for live music and interactions with live and audiences.
And being close to one another, you know, even though it's, we shouldn't be too close with one another.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing about Indigenous communities too. It's all about getting together and gatherings and community and meeting people and, you know, hanging out with your elders and family groups and all that sort of stuff. So we're just, I mean, I was pretty happy myself. I was, you know, we lived here in St. Kilda during the lockdown. So 2 years in lockdown.
Are you enjoying it? Yeah, here in Melbourne.
I'm enjoying lockdown.
No, but enjoying, yeah, you know, St. Kilda and Melbourne?
I think, now that I've been here 10 years now, so I would say if I had to live anywhere in Melbourne, St. Kilda would be the place. Yeah,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it reminds me a lot of home. I mean, I grew up on the Gold Coast in that area, so this sort of area is very much like Coolangatta and places like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what can you tell us about that? Why should our listeners come along to the St. Kilda Festival this year?
Well, you know, we try to program some, not the known artists, but the people who are going to become the next generations of those known artists, and there's a lot of so much great young talent out there that, you know, they don't normally get a chance, or they find it hard to get a big stage.
It's really hard, isn't it? Yeah, because, you know, like the most of the festivals, it's just big names and you don't get anything else.
Well, it's I've worked in the Indigenous music scene for a long, long time now, and it's super hard for, you know, First Nations people to get recognised and just looked at as just an artist and without the label of being labelled an Indigenous artist.
Mm-hmm.
I had the same problem when I first started because I'd played in bands for years before I decided to take it seriously, but no one ever labelled me an Indigenous artist. It only happened when I sort of got into the industry that I was put into all these categories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So those are the things we're trying to break down. But it's also putting us on the same level as every other artist. The same stage, the same audiences. Just lifting Indigenous artists to a whole new profile.
Yeah, yeah. Name some of the people that you're involved with.
So this year we've got Christine O'Neill, who's our headliner.
Uh-huh. Well, we all know her, a household name.
She's an absolute legend, and I'm really excited that we've got her. We've got Yacht Indy on the Sunday.
Hey.
Great.
So that's going to be awesome. We've got some really exciting young talent I ran into when I was up at the Big Sound Music Conference in Brisbane earlier, last year. Dean Brady, he's a very young, I think he's more R&B, but I think he's going to be big talent. We've got Lauren Ryan, who is a rising country music star. And, of course, Troy Cassidaly's daughter, Jem Cassidaly. I hope she doesn't mind me saying that. Does she just say Jem Cassidaly? She's a fine artist in her own right.
Right, yeah.
Sorry, Jem.
I didn't know he had a daughter that was a musician. So there you go.
Yeah, she's really amazing. So I'm really looking forward to that. We've also got a youth festival that's happening in O'Donnell Gardens on the same day. So we've got a really lot of younger talent on that stage as well. Some young First Nations dance troops, as well as musicians and a whole lot of other activities like face painting. And
And where's that?
That's at O'Donnell Gardens.
Which one's the O'Donnell Gardens?
Near Luna Park.
Right.
Right outside Luna Park.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
And so the main stage is set up on the foreshore.
On the foreshore.
Yep.
And this is opening the St Kilda Festival, is that right? The First Nations first happens before everything else kicks into gear?
Yeah. When we used to kick off the week, so we were sort of labelled the flagship, the opening ceremony, First Nations event for the St Kilda Festival, week of gigs leading up to the Festival Sunday.
Great. It sounds really huge.
Mm.
And so family-friendly for both performances, I imagine. Everyone can welcome. Is it a free event as well?
Oh, it's a free event. You're welcome at everyone's welcome, all ages, everybody.
And it's certainly the crowds come.
Yeah.
That's
a
huge event.
Yeah. And like I said, it's a big focus on accessibility. people with wheelchair access to viewing platforms, elders, putting together a bus service to bring in local First Nations elders. There'll be Auslan interpreters on the stage as well, viewing screens. So, yeah, we're sort of looking at all sorts of ways of involving everybody.
And when that sun goes down, hopefully the weather's better than today.
Well,
nothing's better. You look through that stage and the sun setting behind the performers is pretty spectacular, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, I've got my fingers crossed that the weather's going to be nice and hot.
It's got to get better. Yeah. All right. Well, how do we find out more? Do we just go to the City of Port Phillip website?
Oh, St Kilda. I mean, there is the festival website.
Right.
stkildafestival.com.au.
Uh-huh.
And all the information will be there, and all the stages, times, running, all the information you need to know.
Great. And it's the 18th and 19th of February.
Yep. Saturday the 18th and Sunday the 19th.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for coming in today.
No, thank you for having me.
And your story is a wonderful story, so I can't wait to read all about your dad.
It will come out in book sometime.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Fred Geshi here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.